It is time for us to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We broadcast Arthur on the weekends and also during our noontime hour. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Arthur Schwartz. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Did you say 60 degrees?
It's 60 degrees right here.
Yep. Oh, aren't you lucky? It's already hot and steamy here.
Well, it's not. It's actually a little humid, but not that bad. But 60 degrees kind of cancels that out. So,
you know, I've hardly been cooking because of the heat, but I have gone out. And unfortunately for me, Mr. Harned, my other half here, loves hamburgers. And so we've been eating, well, he's been eating hamburgers in restaurants. And then I read a story, and I'm against hamburgers in restaurants, and I have been for many, many years, because I figure you can make a better hamburger at home for about a third of the cost and enjoy it at leisure. So, but you have to cook it. But barely, you know. Anyway, the other day, I read a story by Ryan Sutton. Ryan is, I've never met the man. Ryan is the chief restaurant critic for Eater. Do you know about Eater,
yes.
Marshall?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Eater covers the northwest corner of Connecticut, but it very thoroughly, does it?
A few places. Like, it gets to Litchfield and stuff. It hasn't gotten into the real far north port.
Yeah, well, I don't know who the critic. They must have you must have your own critic up there. In any case, Ryan is very busy in New York. I always say I'm happy I'm not a restaurant critic anymore. I could not keep up at all with what's going on. But if you are a restaurant critic in New York, you encounter hamburgers more often than you would like. At least if I read Ryan correctly. So Ryan writes a lot about hamburgers. And he wrote this story the other day, Why You Shouldn't Eat Hamburgers in a Restaurant. And, of course, chief among these reasons is they're all overpriced. So if you look at, for instance, the famous Minetta Tavern hamburger, it's $25. The famous DB Bistro Moderne, which is Daniel Boulud's fancy kind of diner, I have to call it, in Midtown. He was the one who introduced Daniel Boulud, the sort of over-the-top burger. I think his burger, it used to be famously $35, but I think I read recently that it's now up to 40-something. And I don't know what the burger at 21 Club used to be, but according to their online menu, it's only $25 at the bar. I think that's probably a bargain, because I remember 20 years ago, the 21 burger was $21. I mean, they could do that. So, but a normal burger, by the way, Ryan just recently ran a story about the cost of burgers, the average cost of burgers across the country. And New York was the most expensive, with the average a burger costing $9.52, as compared to Philadelphia, where it was $6 and change, maybe close to $7, and that was the 15th most expensive. So we're pretty expensive here in the New York Metro. I don't know, what does a burger cost at a good pub, tavern, whatever in Litchfield County?
I'll give you a range anywhere from $9 to $11 at a regular burger joint, but at a regular restaurant.
Yeah, at a nice place.
Yeah, $9 to $12.
And with fries?
Yeah.
Well, so around here, in Brooklyn, the $14 burger with fries, and they even give you a big cookie, which I think is very clever, so that they can charge $13.95. They call it the tray. And it's only available at lunch. And I'm not sure what the famous, I'll get to this one in a minute, the famous hamburger at Peter Luger is, I think, only $14. But the fries are extra, but not much extra, like maybe $2 extra. And I think that's well worth it, because the Peter Luger burger is a standard for all hamburgers as far as I'm concerned. I grew up going to Peter Luger, because my father was the mechanic to the Foreman family who owned Peter Luger. I don't know who's actually running the place now. I believe it's fourth generation. of Foreman's. I'm not sure that the sisters, who I knew very well, are still busy in the business. But I think that you don't order a burger at Peter Luger unless you're very jaded and you know the steak very well. And they only serve the burger at lunch up until 3:45. So if you get there at 3:15, 3:30, you'll still get a burger. I don't guarantee that if you get there at 3:45, they'll still serve you a burger. But they say they serve it until 3:45. So it's a great. It's in 8 ounces, which is a substantial burger. I think about as substantial as a burger should ever get. It comes on a rather sturdy roll, but soft enough to be just the, you know, something to hold the burger with and whatever. And I don't think you should have anything on it. I think you just eat it like that, maybe some ketchup. But you could, as an option, have American cheese on it. And as an option, you could have a slice for $4.55, a slice of Peter Luger's famous bacon, which, by the way, you can now buy in the supermarket. If you ever see it in the supermarket, I recommend trying it. It's great bacon, and costs a fortune at Peter Luger. So that's a great burger. And I would, since I am jaded, since I've been going to Peter Luger since I was a kid, and I've eaten the steak a gazillion million times, you know, if I'm really craving a steak, I go to Peter Luger. But if I'm driving by in the neighborhood, which happens, and it's during lunch hour, I might stop, because you can get a table just by walking in, usually, at lunch. Maybe you'll wait 10 minutes at the most at the bar. And whereas at dinner, you have to have a reservation weeks ahead, I think, still weeks ahead, and there's no such thing as just walking in off the street. So yeah, I might get the burger, you know. It's a great burger. But otherwise, I'm all for eating burgers at home. And what's it all about? The meat. Oh, let me just add another disappointing burger story. Just last week, I guess it was, we went to check out this new Japanese market, for want of a better word, here in Brooklyn, in what's now called Industry City. When I was growing up, it was Bush Terminal, because they were the big warehouses and industrial lofts on the waterfront here in Brooklyn. Now they've been transformed into retail palaces with big-name stores as well as food courts. So this Japanese place is a food, I guess you could say it's a food court. Now, it has a market, meaning selling fresh and lots of grocery items on the shelf for Japanese cooking. And I think if you did cook Japanese, you probably would love this place. But I don't cook Japanese, but I do eat Japanese. And the rest of the food court or market is stalls of various Japanese or Japanese-ish restaurants. So we're walking around, and I go by this place called Brooklyn Steak. I'm curious. It's a countertop place. Has a guy behind the counter who is not Japanese. He's clearly from Bensonhurst. As soon as he opened his mouth, I knew, and he was surprised that I knew. And he was rather engaging and charming. And I got his story about, you know, he's this boy from Bensonhurst who was intrigued by Japanese cooking, and he's doing this fusion thing. But he also was, if I have to say, a little bit obnoxious and ignorant. For instance, his family hails from Naples, which he insisted was not the south of Italy. So I had to set him straight on that. But anyway, after all this conversation, we felt we needed to actually sit down and eat his food, which was a big mistake. He had a hamburger, but it wasn't a hamburger. It was a squashed meatball, a Neapolitan meatball, but without the savor and delicacy, if I may say, of a Neapolitan meatball. And it came with rice. It was at that moment I realized I don't want to eat my hamburgers with rice. I grew up eating a hamburger on a bun with what we used to call smothered onions, but now they call them caramelized onions. I just say they're fried onions. And ketchup. That was my burger. That was my mother's burger. That was my father's burger. That was all our burgers when we were growing up, and I still want that burger. And, of course, the bun is important. These days you can buy good brioche buns in the supermarket. They don't have to be the white bread buns, although I have nothing against, really, a good white bread bun. But, you know, you have to figure out what's a good one. And I don't really want anything on my burger except ketchup and fried onions. And I have, even on the hottest day, I'm happy to fry up a lot of onions to put on a burger, as I did recently at my nephew's house, where we were able to put the burgers on the grill, which, of course, made me feel I was, you know, I'm not living because I don't have a grill. But what burgers are really about is the meat, of course. So there was a period, some listeners will remember, only last year, I was into grinding my own meat. So here's the problem with grinding your own meat. Finding the meat that has the right fat lean proportion, which to me is 20% fat and 80% lean. This is what's normally sold as ground chuck or ground, could be ground beef, depends. These days, I notice that percentages are more likely to be on the label than not. So you can easily find your 80 or, you know, at 85% lean, 15% fat is okay too, but I prefer the 20% fat. But extra lean meat has no place in a hamburger as far as I'm concerned. If you want to eat it raw, as steak tartare, that's a good thing. But I don't want to eat it in my even in my medium-rare burger. So I've been buying, I think I mentioned this, maybe not. I don't usually like grass-fed beef. For instance, Whole Foods sells ground beef that's from grass-fed animals. I like traditional American grain-fed beef. However, just to see what it tasted like, I bought a package of Thomas Farms ground beef. Comes in a vacuum package in the supermarket. It's a brick, you could say, of ground meat in plastic. And it's clearly marked, the percentages. And they do have 80, 85, and 90% lean. So I recommend the 80% lean, but if they only have 85% because your store didn't buy the 80%, figuring who wants such fatty meat, then the 85 will do. And this grass-fed beef has a lot of flavor, but not the, I don't even know how to describe the flavor I associate with grass-fed meat, but it just has great flavor. And, you know, these fancy burgers in restaurants, are often what makes them fancy is they're coming from a celebrity butcher. Can you imagine there are now celebrity butchers? I guess following celebrity chefs, there had to be celebrity butchers. Are there celebrity fishmongers? I don't know one yet, but that's one will appear soon. So, in tipping my hat to your family, Marshall, how about celebrity chicken farmers?
There you go.
I bet you there already are, and I'm not aware of them, you know what I mean? So they buy this meat from celebrity butchers, and they put the name of the butcher on the menu, and that allows them to charge an extra $5 for the hamburger. So I recommend Thomas Farms if you see it, or try some others. There are some other packaged meats that I've had that are really quite good. And, you know, so maybe you have a good butcher department in your supermarket and you trust them, but don't get this extra lean for a burger. Now, the other thing I've changed in my burger cooking is that I now spread the meat out on a plate. Let's say 1 pound of meat, which makes two enormous burgers. If you really want a burger on a bun, especially for kids, 4 ounces, 6 ounces, 8 ounces is already a He-Man-sized burger. But let's say you're going to, whatever you're going to make, spread 1 pound of meat spreads out very nicely on a dinner plate, and salt the meat and pepper the meat before you make the burgers. And then scoop up the meat. Don't knead it together, but mix it together as best you can without kneading it. And then form your burgers. And then salt and pepper the outside of the burgers as well. And then I put them in a super-duper hot cast iron skillet. You know, I have no outdoor grill. If you have an outdoor way of cooking, I recommend that. I have tried in my particular broiler, they don't get browned enough to do medium rare. I mean, they're not going to be browned enough. So the only way I can do them on top of the stove in a flat, not a ridged griddle. I like as much char on the burger as possible. So I find that super high heat, let the pan preheat for a good 5 minutes or so. If you drop water on it, it should not bounce, but evaporate instantly. And then put in your burgers 3 minutes per side. I like a medium rare burger. 3 minutes per side is pretty much it. After 3 minutes, you're going to see at the super high heat in a black iron skillet, your burger's pretty well browned. And then this other side will be pretty well browned. If that's not cooked enough for you, turn the heat down to low and let the burger sit another minute on each side. And then you'll end up with a medium burger. And, of course, the burger continues to cook a little bit even after you take it out of the pan, so you might want to let it sit for 1 minute. You could be sitting on your burger bun, and any juices that might leak out will go into your burger bun, which is what you want.
That's true.
And then my onions, I just cook, you know, I slice onions, and I cook them rather slowly until they get somewhat brown, but not altogether brown, unless I'm, you know, really, it's a cold day and I keep the flame on a long time. So that's it. That's, to me, a great burger. And what kind of bun? You know, as I said, I buy brioche buns around the corner, but they also have very good whole wheat hamburger buns. And I see lots of new buns.
I like.
Of course, the big bun is Martin's potato bread buns. A lot of restaurants actually put that on their menu, that they're serving them on those buns, which cost a big, like, you know, $2.50 for six of them in the supermarket.
I like a Kaiser roll.
I do, too, but it's hard to find a good Kaiser roll. And what do I mean by good? I mean one with lots of crust but a very light interior.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for an 8-ounce burger, a Kaiser roll is not inappropriate. But I don't like the roll to intrude too much on the burger, truthfully, which is why I don't put a lot of glop on my burgers. But, you know, people do like glop. If they didn't like glop, they wouldn't be selling gloppy burgers.
For like, $41.
With ranch dressing and with like five other elements. I sometimes watch Guy Fieri on the Food Network. Yeah. I mean, in passing. I don't want to say I'm addicted to Guy Fieri. I'd be embarrassed. Huh. But anyway, but I must say, he has his charms. But almost that, it's called Diners, Dumps, and whatever.
Diners, Drive-ins, and Triple D. Diners, Drive-ins, I forget, yeah.
Yeah, it's a show all about hamburgers and other kinds of over-the-top
dives.
Food. I see what America really wants to eat
dives
from this show, because these are all super. I mean, I probably would like a lot of these places, too, but a constant diet of it will kill you, truthfully.
Well, it's
it will
funny.
Kill you.
When his restaurant opened in New York, everybody criticized it, and he didn't.
Yes, it really got dumped on.
But he didn't make the restaurant for the critics. He made it for the people that watch his show that eat all that crap.
And
maybe, you know, a lot of that crap is you know, I understand the appeal.
Yeah, so do I.
Of some of that crap.
Yeah, so do I.
However, a whole menu of it, I don't know.
Anyway, the word you're looking for is dives.
Yeah, Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
Yeah. Well, so it's all about hamburgers, if you notice.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder how people eat some of these burgers, because they pile so high with stuff.
It's got to be a knife and fork thing, which is just sad.
Yeah, I guess.
But
when was the last time you had a fast food burger?
Marshall?
The silence tells all.
I was just saying this to Jill the other day. If I were to go to like I don't know about Burger King, but I know if you go to McDonald's or Wendy's, because they
couldn't go to Burger King the other day to use the loo.
Well, that's because the fried smells and everything like that. But no, I mean, if I was going to go someplace that a fast food burger, would probably be Wendy's. It would probably be Wendy's, because their meat is fresh right there, and It's not frozen or anything like that. So it would probably be Wendy's.
I haven't been to a Wendy's in I don't know how many years, many years. But there is one near me, and I keep meaning to try it. But I've been going to, I like Burger King burgers better than McDonald's.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between, I hate to say it, flame, quote, quote, broiled and nuked, but.
Well, whatever they do with it, I don't eat it. I haven't been to McDonald's in I can't remember how many years, but I do frequent a Burger King, but not for the burgers.
Your chicken?
I get the fried chicken sandwich.
Yep.
And it, at least around here, there's a $2 for $6 deal. Do you have that by you?
I'm sure.
At Burger King, you can get two sandwiches for $6.
So
Bob gets his burger, I get my fried chicken sandwich, and on an indulgent day, we share an order of fries.
Arthur, things are so bad around here. We had a Burger King in Millerton. They closed. We had a McDonald's that took the place of Burger King in Millerton. They closed.
When you say so bad.
That's because people in your territory have good taste. And they're not going to McDonald's. There was, when I first moved up to the northwest corner, there was a McDonald's in, I think it was Goshen?
Torrington. Torrington has two McDonald's.
No, it wasn't as far as Torrington. This was many. This is after all, what, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. 30 years ago.
I can tell you there
was. So there was one, but they closed it because the parking lot had become a drug connection place.
Well, that happens.
That wasn't. It wasn't Goshen because Goshen doesn't have.
No, Canaan.
Canaan, yeah, but there was a McDonald's still open in Canaan. Yes.
Canaan,
but it's still open. They just redid it.
Oh, it's still open.
Yep.
They have those automatic.
Anyway, I'm not necessarily recommending Burger King. However, I have to say the fried chicken sandwich for what amounts to $3 is significantly better than the famous fried chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A, which I don't know how much that is, but it's an overpriced fast food from a company with, as far as I'm concerned, bad politics.
Quick question, speaking of chicken, do you have any chirping chicken there?
Who? Chirping chicken? No.
Okay.
There's chirping chickens all over New York City.
Right. Well,
oh, there are?
That's what I was
curious
about.
I don't know. I've never been to a chirping chicken. What do they have at chirping chicken?
Yes.
It's chicken, but it's like roasted chicken, you know.
It's grilled chicken. But there happens to be one on 75th or something in Amsterdam. And,
None in Brooklyn that I know of, but I haven't looked for them. So I am eager. Here's one burger in a restaurant that I am eager to try, but who knows when I'll get a chance. The owner of Hometown Barbecue, which many people besides me say is the best barbecue outside of Texas, it's in Red Hook here in Brooklyn, he just opened a tavern called the Red Hook Tavern. And the feature is a Luger-like burger. So that one is $22 with fries. That's not the reason I'm not going. I am very curious because I think Bill Durney, who owns this place, does a superb job. It took years to open. So here in around these parts, we've all been anxiously awaiting the opening. But apparently, it's weeks to get a reservation. They're not open for lunch, so it's got to be dinner. Well, I guess they're open on Saturday and Sunday for lunch. Maybe I should check that out. But for dinner is weeks to get a reservation. Imagine.
Yeah.
Burgers are not the only thing he serves. He's also serving a steak and, I must say, some interesting appetizers. And the whole idea is to mimic or a nod to, an homage, as they say, to the Peter Luger burger, the atmosphere of the... the famous burger
place
in the village? The Corner Bistro. So it all looks
Mineta.
Like it's been there for 100 years. And they're serving McSorley beers on tap.
So
I didn't know McSorley's had their own beer, but all right.
Now they do. So, I just did a little bit of, I looked at the West Street Grill's burger.
Oh, yeah, how much?
19. Black Angus, but look how it's presented. Black Angus beef burger, prime beef, gorgonzola aioli, onion confit, bread and butter pickles, frites.
Well, it's quite elaborate, and it's maybe, I guess, good meat. you know, Peter Luger's burger that people think it's made from the trimmings from the steaks, which it is, but that's not the only meat that goes into the burger. They won't tell you what other meat's going in, but supposedly prime meat. And West Street Grill is saying prime meat.
Yeah.
So prime meat, you know, has a lot more marbling and savoriness than choice, which is the next grade down. But you can make a great burger with choice meat, I must say, I think. Now the other one is the Wagyu burger. This one is the biggest farce of all.
Oh yeah, I
have had many real Kobe. By the way, the difference between Wagyu and Kobe is Wagyu refers to Japanese style breeding and husbandry of the cattle. Kobe is a particular place in Japan, and the meat that's called Kobe must come from that region of Japan. And it is not just Wagyu cattle, but treated and fed in a particular way. But the big deal with Wagyu is its intense marbling, meaning, you know, naturally it's probably 20% fat without any trim fat. And it is very, very tender. But I have done numerous tastings of various kinds of meat put on the table, and the Wagyu never wins because it never has the flavor of grain-fed American beef. However, as raw meat, as steak tartare or carpaccio, nothing beats a piece of Wagyu.
Right.
So if anybody offers you Wagyu tartare or Wagyu carpaccio, by the way, I made carpaccio the other day, except that I didn't use raw meat. Carpaccio was invented at Harry's Bar in Venice. I'm going to do this really quick because you'll like it. And it's slices of paper-thin raw beef put on a plate with a secret sauce on top. So I, in my not-cooking mode, I bought rare roast beef at my butcher, who makes his own roast beef, good roast beef, and I put that out on a plate. And looking for, I always thought it was mustard mayonnaise. I've eaten at Harry's Bar a number of times. It's of a yellowy color, so I thought it was that must be mustard in there. Ends up, it's not. I found a recipe online written by the granddaughter of Vittorio De Sica, who spent her girlhood going to Harry's Bar with her grandfather. And she found out as a girl what the secret sauce was, and it's Worcestershire sauce and lemon juice. So you just... homemade mayonnaise made with their very, very yellow yolks has a yellow tinge to it. I used Hellman's, and for 3/4 cup of Hellman's, I added a teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce and a little better than a teaspoon of lemon juice. And to thin it out, so you can drizzle it over the meat, at Harry's Bar, it's a checkboard thing, little milk. A couple tablespoons of milk is all I needed for 3/4 cup of mayonnaise. But if you're putting it into a squeegee bottle, which is what they do at Harry's, you might want to add a little bit more milk.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
No cook.
And the 21 burger is $36. You're right.
It's $36.
Yep.
If I couldn't find that quote. I only found 20. Well, $36 at the bar. I'm not sure you can get into the restaurant and order the burger. Not sure.
I'll work on that.
I'm not going either to find
it. Okay.
I'll speak to you next week.
That's fair.
Take care.
Love you, Bob.
That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. And on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with 2 beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, HavenCafeBakery.com.